In March 2020, when pandemic lockdown started, our three children came home abruptly from college. It was disorienting to them and to my husband, Will, and me, too. As each of us sought footing in this changing world, we grabbed on to each other, mostly affectionately, but sometimes not so much. The months rolled by, and we adapted to working in close quarters, sharing Wi-Fi, and protecting each other's COVID bubbles. It was the most uninterrupted time our family had spent together, I think, since our children were in preschool. And sometimes we surprised each other. I realized that I needed to let go of my fixed understanding of these dear people and relearn the three adults with whom I shared a home. And this happened gradually over the next year as our son and daughters carved out their own spaces and navigated the long-distance relationships with their friends. And I don't know what it was, but something made them want to reflect and share stories of their childhood, to share in a new way what it was like for them to move from our California family to Seattle and put down roots, what it was like when my husband was traveling heavily for work and I was juggling my job and seminary. There were a lot of stories, and many of them were funny, like how our daughters would dance on the kitchen counter when we weren't there. And some stories made my heart ache. I realized that some of Will's and my choices had caused hurt, despite our deep love and delight in them. I felt guilty, and I admit a little defensive. Hadn't I done the best I could? Yet, there we were. Some wounds remained, and I longed for healing, for forgiveness. And the pandemic gave us plenty of time for that. Our first reading today from Genesis is a critical point in the saga of Joseph and his brothers. It begins when the patriarch Jacob has 12 sons, but he completely favors Joseph. And this irks Joseph's brothers, so they throw him in a pit and resolve to kill him, as people do. In a moment of cunning, though, brother Judah sells Joseph to Egyptian slave traders instead. And then Joseph's life in Egypt is this twisting drama of injustice and hardship. But eventually, he predicts a coming famine, which earns him the second-in-command job in Pharaoh's household, a very powerful place to be. And so as the famine spreads throughout the world, only Egypt has food. In Canaan, Joseph's family is starving, so his brothers go to buy grain from Pharaoh's agent. And when they petition Joseph for help, they don't recognize him and his Egyptian garb, but he knows who they are. And he wants to learn who they've become, so he tests them, insisting that they leave the other favored child, Benjamin, as payment, that they leave him behind in Egypt. And the brothers know that this will destroy their father and destroy their family, so Judah offers himself as payment to Joseph instead. And that moves Joseph. He realizes they've changed, and he resolves to forgive them. That is the story of reconciliation we heard in the Old Testament today. Our gospel, of course, also speaks of reconciliation as Jesus teaches his disciples how to live. He sums up the first part in, "Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Forgive." And we know that forgiveness is so essential to following Jesus that when he teaches them to pray, right after daily bread, what is most essential is asking for forgiveness and offering it. It's not transactional, this idea that if you forgive me, I'll forgive you, and we'll, you know, trade this chit back and forth. It's not that at all. It's a way of life in which we inhabit both roles, sometimes at the same time. Which is why one version of the Lord's Prayer that we pray at 7 o'clock on Sunday nights here reads, "Let forgiveness flow between us." So what does it mean to offer forgiveness? It's not condoning or forgetting the hurt that someone has done, nor is it saying, we're all good, as if the person doesn't need to do their own work of repentance. No, forgiveness is about freedom, where we acknowledge the pain and the broken trust, as well as the cost of holding on to anger and resentment. And we allow the Holy Spirit to heal relationships as she will, grounding them in a deeper and more nuanced understanding of each other's true selves. Forgiveness is not an act of will, a decision, but a process that unfolds with the grace of God. And it can take time. It took decades for Joseph. What does it mean to seek forgiveness, though? Often when we hear this story of Joseph's family, we pay attention to the horrible things that the brothers do and Joseph's generosity to them in the end. We put ourselves in Joseph's shoes and we ask, could I do that? But today I want to stand in the brothers' shoes and ask, could I do that? Although I've wanted to, I've never thrown anyone into a pit. But none of us are strangers to jealousy and selfishness, to nursing our own hurts while we turn a blind eye to the needs of others. So I wonder how Joseph's brothers seek forgiveness. Scripture says that Joseph kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. What do they say? After they get over their shock and relief, do they acknowledge their guilt and their remorse? And then what? After they resettle in Egypt, well cared for by Joseph, do they live differently? Do they let go of comparing the size of Joseph's fortune to their own? And instead, just give thanks that their family has been repaired? Do they teach their children to measure their well-being by the freedom and flourishing of their neighbor? And do those children teach their children to open their storehouses of plenty and share what they have with those who have not enough? I want to know that story. I want to know that story because I think seeking and receiving forgiveness goes far beyond an exchange of words. Joseph forgives his brothers not because they offer an emotional apology, but because he sees how they regret the fracture and the pain in their family and how they have changed their behavior as a result. At the end of Genesis, the brothers do indeed explicitly ask Joseph for forgiveness. It's after Jacob's death. But Joseph makes it clear that the debt was paid long ago. They were reconciled when they changed the way they lived together, showing that each life mattered. I want to know that story because I think it's the one we're living today. I am grateful for what my family learned about forgiveness during the pandemic. But no one's story is ever only about their nuclear family. As Reverend Lindsay said last Sunday, we are all connected deeply and inextricably. And there are deep wounds in our community and in our nation, some of which, like the damage of racism and wealth inequity, and homelessness have gone untended for a long time. This week, I attended a virtual conference at Baylor Seminary in Waco, Texas, titled, Do We Want to Be Healed? Racism in the White Church. I'm still digesting what I heard and learned, but I want to share one reflection that goes to the heart, I think, of this seeking of forgiveness. Dr. Catherine Meeks and Robert Jones and some others named the human and theological constructs that uphold racism, but they moved really quickly to accountability. Mr. Jones said, white people must stop talking about reconciliation. Recognize our absolute connection to each other and focus on repair. Repair of the financial, physical, and psychological wounds that still remain from white supremacy and from economic injustice. You will know you are reconciled when your brothers and sisters of color tell you so. Dr. Meek said plainly that when people with power hear this, they immediately worry, what will I have to give up? Instead, we must ask, what have I already lost in this system of injustice and suffering? And what will I gain spiritually and psychically from knowing that everyone has a safe home where their children can flourish? Can you imagine going to bed at night and knowing that everyone had their own bed and were warm? You'd probably sleep better. I would. Because we are so interconnected, if we care for others, then our own needs will be met. This community has committed ourselves to accountability through our statement of lament and action. And we are on a long journey together to fulfill those commitments. And with God's grace and guidance, we will move along that journey. Today, though, when we hear the story of Joseph and his brothers, may we pray that the forgiveness that we find in our closest relationships will open our hearts to the wounds of others and move us to accept responsibility for repair. There is more than enough love and safety and grace for all. Amen.